So what does wellness mean to you?
Welcome back to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. This week, we went all the way to the Ottawa Valley for a special guest, Victoria Cleary, who's an athletic therapist and a woman of many talents. You'll get to hear all about that. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So how did you get started in athletic therapy? And actually, before that, what is athletic therapy for people that don't know?
Athletic therapy is... How do I say this? What we do is we treat athletes or people that want to be active. We're first responders, meaning that we do first aid on scene. You'll see us traveling with the teams. You may see us at on the bench or in a hockey rink or something. But we also rehab people from the second they get hurt all the way back up into high-level play. I got into therapy. I started off in fitness and health at Fanshawe, and I met an athletic therapist at my college. And when I did that, I wanted to do his job. He was working with the soccer team, taping them, getting them ready through warm-ups. And I thought it was really, really interesting to specialize in athletes and travel with teams. So that was something I wanted to pursue. So I went into Sheridan College afterwards and worked with various teams throughout my time at college, and then went on to work at Carleton University in Ottawa. And then eventually I was an Army reservist at the same time and worked with our battle group rugby team while I was deployed to Bosnia in 2001, sorry, and got my hours to get into Sheridan. So it was fantastic to kind of get a taste of athletic therapy before I got into it, and realized that it is a lot different than other trades in that our scope of practice entails the first aid portion and the first responder portion. So we're bracing people, putting athletes on backboards when they break something that we're not sure of, and getting them back all the way to high level play.
And what do you think attracted you to this? Because I mean, there's a lot of disciplines in the health of athletes. You've got chiros, you've got physios, you've got a lot of different people. Why specifically athletic therapy for you?
I was a high level rugby player in high school, and I played club rugby as well during my time in high school, and I did hurt my knee. I wasn't overly impressed with some of the treatment I received from some other trades, but when I met an actual athletic therapist and saw how different it was, that he was really trying to treat the cause and not just symptoms, not just treating the area, he was treating the body as a whole. He was big on mechanics and big on warm-ups and cool-downs, and I just found that he wasn't afraid of blood or any of those things. He wanted to be all encompassing. And I found that was different from my experience of going to some other practitioners. And that's why I think I fell in love with the trade.
Yeah. And I mean, I've known you for a few years, so I know you're a doer. And is that another reason, I think, why, like, sure, you're an athletic therapist?
For sure. I think that, like, we were talking earlier about go-getters. Yeah. And I think that you want to be able to make a difference. And if you can make a difference from the very beginning all the way to the end, I think athletic therapists, we want to be a part of a team. And being a part of a team, it might be an individual athlete or in a team setting, but we are the people that are caring about the overall outcome and the overall health of it. Not to, you know, say that there isn't a time and a place for all these other practitioners. I've worked on tons of multidisciplinary teams, and it works out really well. So, yeah.
And what does the schooling for athletic therapy look like?
It's a 4-year degree. I went to Sheridan. It is, there are 6 other universities in Canada that you can go to. Concordia, I believe, there are 2 in Manitoba. University of Calgary has one, Mount Royal, and also BC's Coliseum College has one as well.
Okay. And what kind of courses do you take?
I believe in the first year, right now it's changed because I graduated 12 years ago.
Yeah. You're old.
I'm old. Yeah. I believe now in your first year, you're doing a lot of, like, intro to the body, intro to statistics and those kind of things. And you still do have placements throughout. Every year, we host a third year Sheridan student from Sheridan, and they have to do their placement here. So there are placements throughout the schooling, not just learning about physiology and anatomy and different modalities that you'll be using. I find the Sheridan program is really a hands-on program. So you're in school all day, and then you're your placement applying what you learned all night. So a four-year degree is a real applied and hands-on degree.
And what kind of injuries do you come across on your day-to-day?
On my day-to-day? Yeah. It could be anything. The people of the Valley are their own special breed. Yeah. It can be treating police officers. It can be treating a nine-year-old gymnast. We get a ton of hockey players in here. But I would say right now, this time of year, it's all runners. So people are just excited after the winter to get back out and running. Is a big sport around here.
Yeah. And since you're in Petawawa with the base, because I know you also have an experience with the forces, how does that help you become a better athletic therapist?
I think my experience in the military, I did 5 years in the infantry and 12 as a medic. I worked in the system. I understand how the system works. I was a soldier. I had to run. It was a part of what my training, and it was a part of our training. If I knew now what I knew back then,
I think we'd all be better off. But yeah,
exactly. Like, I mean, running with this much equipment on, running in a little bit better way probably would have been helpful back then. But I just feel I can do so much more knowing that I've been through annoying. And those are some of the questions I ask some of the people around here, like, how much weight are you wearing? What is your training schedule like? Let's break it down and make this a lot better experience for you. And I use a lot of the Qi running principles while I'm trying to do assessments on people to make sure that they are applying them and not hurting themselves. So I think that my experience in the military, I know where they're coming from, and I'm better able to relate to them. And I can say, well, these techniques will work. I've used them. I wish I would have used some of these earlier. But we have an Ironman that goes on every year here, and it's not like your typical Ironman. These guys are carrying canoes and like 45-pound rucksacks. So if you can use these in a military setting, it's fantastic. So it's a little bit of street cred. I would say I can say that, right? Yeah, I have a little bit of street cred. Yeah. If you're in a military town, if you don't understand the day-to-day of what some of these people are going through, then I don't think that it would make you a good therapist if you don't understand that they're going to go and do it anyways. You might as well help them. A lot of these people really want to just be able to do some of these races or do some of these events. A lot of these people are training for higher things. They may be going out for SAR-TAC, which is a search and rescue tech, and they want to get there. So if we can give them tools to get them there, that's what it's really about. It's about educating them in a smarter way. A ton of selection guys, meaning that they're going out for different selections from different units. We get a ton of those guys that want to come before they even make some of these units. They'll come in and go over, you know, mechanics with us and what they can be doing better so that they don't get hurt during their selection process.
And so what kind of injuries do you get? Do you see, like, what's the range that you get to see on a day-to-day basis?
Day-to-day basis, I would say.
Or week to week.
Week to week. I mean, we do treat a lot of concussions here. We see people that have been in car accidents, high-speed falls. Again, military personnel. But we can also do, like, ankle injuries from just spraining your ankle. We get a lot of lifting injuries, big CrossFitters and Olympic lifters. And those, I would say those people that are pretty body aware, they know if something feels off. So they come in almost immediately. I would say almost preventatively that they want to come in because they are very body aware. Same with my yogis. They're very, very body aware. People that do yoga, the second they feel that something's off, they'll come in. And they're never really that far gone that they're out of sorts, so they'll come in and they're they'll feel off, and we'll do some measurements and take a look at how they're moving, and if we can help them in that way, give them exercises, stretching, strengthening. Of course, the manual work is also very important as well. So we're seeing a range of people, but also a range of injuries. I mean, I don't, you know, we're joking about some of the things. We should get a quote board here about some of the things that are said in our clinic. You know, a guy that was deadlifting a four-wheeler, and this guy's chopping wood, and I don't know if I can make it because I might still be on the grenade range, or, you know, yeah. We're like, we need a quote board here. Like, who says this in any other clinics? Yeah. And these guys would... what they do across the valley is pretty amazing. So we got to start a quote board here to write down some of these things that are said. Yeah. So
hey, I'm assuming it's very different from a clinic downtown Ottawa or downtown any major city. So
well, and it is really funny that you say that, because we'll get people in, like a retired couple, and they'll say, yeah, well, we're not really that active. And so my first question is to them is, how many acres do you have? And they'll tell me 134. Yeah. Like, okay, so do you chop your own wood? Yes. Yeah. Do you shovel your own snow? Yes. And we'll create this giant written like list of activities that they're doing. I'm like, do you think people in downtown Toronto are doing all this work? Like, yeah, you're not. They're like, oh, but I'm retired. It takes me all day. It doesn't matter. It takes you all. You're a full-time lumberjack now instead of a teacher.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. I think people have been doing things by hand for so long out here, they don't even realize that they're active. They've just, I had a woman in her early 70s that's still working out in the barn, still going out and feeding horses and shoveling and doing all those. And she looks phenomenal and takes really good care of herself and wants to continue doing those things. So we're here to help her make sure she does them still. So
very cool. And what's in your toolbox to help all these people?
I do a lot of different things. I've, you know, taken some active release courses in the past. I've also gotten into the cranial sacral therapies, and I just recently did a visceral course course to treat organs. Everything moves as it was developed embryologically, as we're formed in the womb, and everything has a pattern. So if you can kind of help facilitate those movements again, you're going to help with function. Again, lots of assessment courses and taping courses and those kind of things as well. I really, although it's VC Athletic Therapy and bracing, I really try not to brace people if I don't have to. I will try to my best to stretch and strengthen them and rather educate them rather than putting them back into a brace. We do specialized bracing, especially pre-op and post-op. That's what the surgeons want. It ensures their surgery. But knowing when to brace someone, I think, is also important. A lot of people could just say, oh, here, I'll just sell you a brace. But again, we want to educate people on those, when and when not to brace. So you can always go to Shoppers Drug Mart and pick up a brace if you want. But I try not to brace people that aren't my patients. It should be a part of their treatment, I think. And so I don't really sell braces to off the shelf. But again, it's another tool for the toolbox, and I'm not discounting it at all. I think it's a great tool. Educating people, just, I don't know everything, but I have a team of people here that help me with nutrition, and massage is huge as well. So my toolbox is I would say pretty full, but I also, when it leaves my scoping and heads into somebody else's scope of practice, then we can utilize their tools too.
Yeah. And you're a big hands-on practitioner.
For sure.
How do you think that differs from some other health professionals around there?
Well, I think that people want more of a hands-on approach. I think that people...
Especially athletes, I think.
Completely. Yeah. And they want to feel that that someone's making a change here. The manual work is important, but you have to do the homework to keep it in place. I'm not just doing this so that you can come in here every week and get an hour treatment of me doing it. The homework I provide is cements in place what we've done on the table. So they're more willing to do that. I think they're more willing to do the homework because they want to get better. We have a very different patient load, I would say, that comes in here. Everyone that walks through our door wants to get better. They don't last very long if they don't, because I'm going to ask them the next week, how did the homework go? And the people that come in here are amazing. They really bring this great positive energy in here. We have people that have suffered a great deal and just want to get back to life. And it's exciting to be a part of that.
Very cool. I know, speaking of your team, what else do you have on the, because I know you've got a couple of massage therapists, mm-hmm. nutritionists.
So we have one other athletic therapist, MC, Marie Claire. We have two massage therapists, Lisa and Curtis, and we just hired more recently a holistic nutritionist. And this group together that we have right now, Kayla is our nutritionist, fantastic of working together and really helping each other. We had a gentleman that was in here that needed a brace and his surgeon's recommending it. He needs surgery and I can do a custom brace on him, but his eczema was so bad, his skin is almost raw. So he went and saw a Kayla for it, and within a week she has changed his skin through diet and nutrition, and he's going to be able to wear that brace. And I mean, right now it wouldn't be safe for me to put a brace on him just with his skin breakdown, but they won't operate until the skin is totally cleared up. So it's exciting to have someone here with that well, she's a wealth of knowledge, and she's making my job easier by, you know, treating these kind of things, and all through your nutrition and education on what he should be eating, what he shouldn't be eating, what he should be staying away from, or possibly what he's reacting to. So, I mean, that collaboration is key to what's making us successful here.
I think the holistic approach is happening more and more in most clinics. And I think you're right. Like, it's a good thing. Cause I think, especially cause it's a better outcome for the patient.
Completely.
Because before, well, and old school doctors, you know, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, well, here, I've been told that for you to take some meds, and so take mm-hmm. some meds. Whereas now it's like, well, yeah, there's a place and time. There's time and place for meds, but there's sure. sometimes there's a place and time for other stuff.
And that's not to say that we don't refer out. Yeah. Like, I mean, every other week, if someone's not getting drastically better, I'm treating them. Yeah. They go back to their family doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a time and a place for all of it. And I mean, if it's out of my scope, it's out of my scope. Yeah. Knowing your scope of practice and when you can treat within it and when it is time.
Yeah.
I have friends and colleagues around here that are fantastic physiotherapists, massage therapists, and even if it's not within our clinic, I'll send them there too. You know, there are some physiotherapists that are doing fantastic work with pelvic floor after a baby, and I'll send some of my patients out there if we're not getting anywhere with them here. So, yeah. I mean, there's a time and a place for everyone, and I think that the pendulum is swinging, that you're going to see more of a hands-on approach, and that people want longer treatment times. 15 minutes isn't cutting it anymore. You know, we're doing hour treatments here always. So I think that
that's a lot of abuse for
a lot of abuse. Well, I mean, some of it's education, and we do talk, but I mean, the treatments are, you know, they can be painful sometimes. I mean, the visceral and the cranial sacral people find extremely powerful, but and they're like, well, it's so passive, but it's so powerful. I feel like, you know, in comparison to like more of an active release technique that, you know, I'm not a provider, but those are techniques that I have taken years before. I think that, it's amazing. You, like you said, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail, but these are all just tools that we're using. Yeah. And, it doesn't mean every single treatment's the same either. We are gauging how people are getting along and what tools to use for what injury. And, I love that our massage therapists, if they've come to a wall with something, they'll come to us, and vice versa. Especially with our concussion athletes, we will definitely implement our massage therapists to cut our work in half by getting rid of protective spasm or pain referrals that could be simulating a concussion. So it's fantastic to work with them and then get their feedback on what they're finding as well. So.
That's the nice thing about having a team is it all, you know.
It's perfect. I love it. The group that I have right now here is a really exciting group. They're just full of energy. They love living and working in the Valley, and they're excited to move forward. And I love being a part of it. I learn from them. They learn from me. And we're excited to work with each other on the people of the Valley.
That's awesome. Speaking of team, I know you work with a couple of, or at least one team, on the world stage. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Okay. For the last 6 years, I've been traveling with the Canadian women's wrestling team. I have worked with the men's wrestling team as well, and I've gotten to go to 10 different countries in the last 6 years. I've been to a world championship and 2 Pan American championships, and I think my first trip was Germany, and then Romania, Italy, Poland, Sweden, Brazil, Mexico. I was in Russia, and then last year was Sweden, Ukraine, and I was at the Olympic training camp in Hawaii 100 days before the Olympics. So it was fantastic. One of my wrestlers even won a gold medal last Olympics was Erica Weeb, and she's from Stittsville, actually. Yeah. So fantastic to be with these girls on their journey and leave the valley every few months and go with them and get them to where they need to be. And I mean, most of these girls started 6 years ago. You know, they were in university. Now a few of them have done their master's or done a second degree. So you're growing up with them. You're seeing them grow and develop into these, not just great wrestlers and athletes, but people. And they're your travel buddies. You're traveling the world with them too. So I'm so grateful for this opportunity and look forward to doing more of it. So
what's a day like when you're on a training camp somewhere? Like, well, what's the routine for an athletic therapist and an athlete?
For me, I always try to get up super early and get a workout in before I go work with Olympians. It's just such a great way to start your day. There's a few times I've gotten lost in the forest and had to hail a cab back, or somebody who will pick me up, and I've been lost, and I'm like, I need to get back. But usually what we're doing, there's a camp followed by a competition.
Yeah.
So if I can get my workout in early in the morning and then be on the mats, eat breakfast. Usually our whole team and coaches eat breakfast together. Then we're on the mats for an hour to 2 hour practice. Sometimes
you're on the mat.
I have to be on the mat to make sure they're not hurting each other. Yeah, so,
okay. You're not.
They would love to. They like to mess with me a little bit once in a while. They always want to wrestle me. They're like, "Oh, come on, rugby's like wrestling." And I'm like, "No, you guys can't actually hurt me." And they mess with me a little bit. But when I say I'm on the mats with them, is that I have to make sure, because even during practice, these athletes are pushing hard.
Yeah.
So I get up and we go to like a 2 hour practice. In between the practice, we'll have treatment time, then lunch, and then we'll have a second practice. Now, sometimes the practices are shorter, or we'll do a sport. A lot of the time it's like soccer or European handball or something hilarious. Depending on where we are in the world, they may orchestrate some of these, other fitness regimes and a lot of calisthenics and some old school warm-ups that you see. They look like they're from like the 1930s, but they work, and yeah. you see them all, doing handsprings and cartwheels and rolls and lots of plyometrics and stuff. And it's interesting to see different warm-ups from around the world. And most of these camps, you'll see a rotation of if it's a multinational camp, you'll see like, okay, France is in charge of the warm-up today, and then Germany will be in tomorrow, and then it will be Hungary the next day, so, and then Canada this day. So you'll see this rotation of different training techniques. And also, like, our coaches will help instruct other countries, and vice versa, other countries are instructing our girls. We've been, and they'll break down instructional videos, we'll watch it in real time, and then they'll all get a chance to practice it and go live, they call it. So some of these camps are instructional, and then other ones I find it's a great opportunity for these girls to foster friendships and alliances with some of these other countries. And we've done training camps after we've been there. They're like, "Oh, we want to come to Canada." And so then coaches will set up a camp for them to come to. So it's a great opportunity to meet other people. I've worked with therapists from around the world, and I'm always excited to
run into them again on the international stage, and we help each other out as well. Definitely when there's an emergency scenario happening, we all bind together and work together to make sure that that athlete is safe. So I haven't seen all of the countries I've been to, meaning I've been in the hotel room a lot. Yeah. So they're long days. After 2-a-day practices, I'm up till 11 treating and start all over again. So treating all day and all night, but it's worth it. I mean, I'm helping people achieve their dreams, and I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. So.
And what have you learned from other therapists or other athletes from around the world?
Oh, it's fantastic. They all have their own little tricks and things like that. You know, it was an American doctor that was showing me to use some like hemorrhoid cream on an eye that is about to swell shut, you know, that you can just put a little bit below the eye and it will help bring down the swelling, and they can actually go back out and wrestle because you don't want to go out with one eye. Some other little tips and tricks to stop bleeding very quickly and to stop these are just typical wrestling injuries, is that when people split their eyes open or split their eyebrow or something, little tips and tricks to help with that, nosebleeds and those kind of things. It's great when they have they love Canadian skin glue because it starts off clear, or it starts off purple and it dries clear, and so showing, I'm always trading that. People love it, so yeah. I'm like, what do you have? So we're always trying to trade different things with each other, and we'll learn from each other. I'm always interested to see what their gear is like and what their backboards are like, also because I'm a little bit of a control freak too. If one of my people are going to get hurt, I want to be familiar with the equipment that we're going to be using to extract them from the mat. So I'm a big one of putting my hands on everything and getting people to explain how it works, and working in with other countries, and sometimes there's language barriers, so it's important that we all are on the same page. We have to do what's called emergency action plans in athletic therapy. It's part of what we do when we're working in the field, and it differs from country to country. It differs where you are. I mean, we were at a venue in Sweden and they lock up their AED, and like, we need that. What if there's an emergency? And they're like, well, people keep stealing it. I'm like, you can't have it locked. So there was two keys to the AED, and one of them was around my wrist for the tournament, and the other one was at the front desk. So, becoming familiar with the equipment and different health standards in different countries. I mean, we definitely had some run-ins with some issues with hygiene in some of the countries. There's a lot of skin conditions in wrestling, and you need to be careful with, they don't disinfect their mats as well in other places. And so making sure that I'm always there disinfecting things. I'll get there, and I need to make it safe for my wrestlers. So I'll always be bringing my own disinfectant and making sure that they're not going to contract something. So those are some of the biggest things I've learned. It's just, different countries have different standards. They use different equipment and different techniques to deal with different injuries. And that's just really amazing stuff that you can't learn anywhere else. You don't learn it in school. You have to learn it out in the field. So.
And why women's wrestling?
Why women's wrestling? I was kind of in the right place at the right time for that one. I was working in the military, and I had worked a lot of regional soccer, national soccer, and a little bit of CISM soccer. I did a training camp for our international sport de militaire soccer team, and By doing that, when I was in the military, selected me to go to a world taekwondo competition that was in Saint-Jean, Quebec. And when I was there, I met the U.S. Army taekwondo team. And I was excited to work with them, and I ended up taping their heavyweight, and he just kept winning and winning and winning. And they said, well, we would love for you to come down to the U.S. and work with us. And I said, I want to be there, and I want to get national, international experience to apply to a national level team. I want to go to the Olympics. I want to go and work internationally. So that was kind of a giant moment for me when they asked me to come down for their national team selection. So I just had to get myself there, and they said they'd take care of me when I got there, which they did. And so I got to work the U.S. Army national team selection, and one of their girls did make the team, and that was super exciting too. But while I was there, I met the Canadian women's wrestling team. They were down there doing a dual training camp with the U.S. And so in between fights for the U.S. Army, I was treating Canadian wrestlers. They had showed up without a therapist. So met their coach, and he asked if I could take a look at some of his wrestlers. And I was like, yes, of course I can. And so right place at the right time. And I finished my stint with the U.S. Army guys. And coach Lee Vierland, he asked me to stay and finish the rest of his camp. And the rest is history. I've been with them for 6 years, so right place at the right time. And, you know, here I was trying to just gain some experience for my resume so I could apply to a team, and kind of got hired on the spot. And I just remember being in the van driving back with a bunch of wrestlers, and he was telling me, you know, well, it doesn't pay a lot, but like, we'll always, you know, we'll take care of you and get you to all these places. And I was like, oh man, I would pay you for this. I didn't say that, but I was like, I can pay for this. I can't believe it. It's actually happening. It was very, very surreal, you know, to go there and work for one team and come back to working for another. So it's been a wild ride, but I'll take it as long as it lasts.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One last question before we end this, because I know you're a busy lady, and we don't want to abuse your time. So what does wellness mean to you?
What does wellness mean to me? Well, I think it goes above and beyond just your regular health. Okay. I mean, if anything, if I've learned anything in the last few years of raising a family and running a business and traveling all over the world, I mean, it's learning some kind of balance of it all. So, I mean, although you could be eating all the right foods and you could be doing all the right things, you do need to have, you know, a mental health aspect to it. And you need to kind of treat the body as a whole, but also you need as much work. I think you need to kind of balance yourself in a way that there's a work play balance. I think you need to balance yourself that you can eat perfect all the time, but maybe then, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be. So
you need some soul food.
Yeah, you do. Every once in a while, you need a little bit of soul food. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it, because I mean, wellness is. I think in my younger years, you might have said it would have been all about discipline, right? Which is not really what wellness is about. I mean, it's about having this balance. I think I've learned in the last few years about having a work-life balance and having, you know, time to spend with my partner and my family. And as much as I put 110% in at work, it is also about having the balance between all of it. You can, you know, be as fit as anything and have a miserable personal life. So you definitely need the wellness aspect comes into a more holistic approach. Are you doing everything on every level in a way that's not excessive in one way and, you know, a little failing in the other? So I think overall wellness is trying to keep that balance. And I mean, yes, definitely there are times in life where your attention is required in more areas, and you know, if there's a tragedy or something like that, but then we do come back to balance. So that's wellness is to me is just trying to keep it balanced, and recognizing when you're out of balance too.
It's not as easy, and well, for me anyways, it's a constant struggle, and I think for most people.
But this is why we have people that are close to us. I think if you can just stay open to some of these people, I do have to credit my partner with really reminding me that it is important to have time for yourself, have time for your friends and your family and your significant other too. I credit him with reminding me of these things. If not, I'd probably be a workaholic, and it is a hard balance, and it's hard to hear that too, right? You have to be open to taking criticism and not seeing it as a personal jab, but saying, you know what, you're right. I haven't been doing the things I need to be doing. So, yeah, I think that wellness, it will be pointed out to us if you're a little out of balance by your family, by your friends, by the people that know you the most. So. Yeah.
And where can people find out more about you? Because I know you're active on some social media.
I'm on Twitter. I'm at VC Athletic, okay. as well as our Facebook page of VC Athletic Therapy Embracing.
Okay. And I'll link to all this stuff in the show notes. So again, thank you very much for joining us.
Yay!
And shedding a little bit of light on what athletic therapy is for a lot of folks out there. You've been listening to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. Until next week, be well.